Welcome to Candid Conversations. Tonight we have the honor of hosting Pastor Mildred Okonkwo all the way from Nigeria. Such a special show, and thank you for honoring us. Welcome.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you so much for making time for us.
My pleasure.
And you are an international figure. Many women have been inspired by your story, and especially for me, let's begin from the part where you are in a five-year relationship and you had to end that relationship out of obedience. Tell us a little bit about that.
If I have to tell that, if every time I have to tell that story, I was giving my ex $1 million, he would be a billionaire by now. So I was in a five-year relationship. We had even done our introduction, you know, planning to get married. Mm-hmm. And then he was outside the country doing his master's. I was back home in Nigeria. And then one morning, the Lord said to me, I want to speak to you. And usually God speaks to me through the word, right? So I go into my room, get on my knees, and I'm worshiping. Mm-hmm. And then I'm worshiping to the song, Yes, I Will Trust You, Lord, by Donnie McClurkin. Wow. And at the beginning of that song, he starts by saying, what if God asks you to give up the very thing you hold so dear? And I was singing, lost in the music, Yes, I Will Trust You, Lord. And then God shows me while I was reading about the woman with the woman at the well, mm-hmm. where the woman says to Jesus, give me this water so I don't thirst anymore. And then Jesus says to her, go and call your husband. And she says, I don't have any husband. And Jesus said, yes, but the man that you're with is not your husband. And it seemed like that part of scripture just popped at me like there was a highlighter pen. And I knew that God was saying to me that this relationship was not the future. And of course, it was a hard thing to do. I know a lot of people, and you know, expect that, oh, I just got up. Like a woman of faith, trusting them.
No, actually, personally, I wonder how you were able to navigate through that, because I believe women love hard.
Yes.
We go all in most of the time.
Yes.
And for you to be able to let that go, that's a miracle to me.
Yes. It was a hard thing. I must be honest. It was a hard thing. I cried. He cried. We both had our share of crying. Mm. I did my share of praying. But I think that what made it possible for me was one of the things I've learned about God, and that is that whatever God is offering you is much better than whatever you're holding on to.
Wow.
So I knew that if God was asking me to let this go, there was something better in store.
So what would you tell someone who's struggling to let go of a relationship? They know it's not the right one for them. Maybe just a few tips of moving on.
Okay.
Yeah.
So the first thing I would say is you have to know your why. So know your why. Why are you ending this relationship? Mm-hmm. If it is that you know that God is saying this isn't for you, that's a very strong reason. If you know it's not good for you, if there's violence, there's abuse, or he's cheating, things that you know that would only get worse in marriage, if you know those are the reasons, they're very strong reasons. Mm-hmm. That should be enough to propel you to say, I'm going to make this decision, I'm going to stand by it. Second thing is boundaries. You may have to be tough. Mm-hmm. For me, at the beginning, I couldn't end the relationship personally. Because I felt, oh, this guy hasn't hurt me, he didn't do anything. So I prayed. I said, God, you know what? Let him end it, and I will take it from there. And while we're having a conversation, because God does answer prayers, while we're having a conversation, he says to me, you know what? I feel like I'm losing you. You know what? Let's just end this. And he said that, and I held on to it. He got up early the next morning, called me, and says, I don't know what came over me. I'm sorry. How can I ever break up with you? But I knew that was my way out, and so I stayed firm. I had been let out. I was not going to go back in. So even though he was saying, oh, I love you and all that, I was saying, I love you too, but we can't. We can't continue.
You see, so you had already done dowry negotiations?
No. Yes, yes, yes. So we had done introductions.
How did the family take it?
So where I'm from, there are many stages, right? Oh. So this was the first stage. It's called the knocking on the door, you know, where the families get to know each other. They just at least get to meet each other. His mom didn't take it too well, to be honest, because she really liked me. And I really liked her, really, really liked her. She was an amazing woman. She spoke to me a couple of times. My parents, too, were initially against it. My mom was like, no, you cannot end this, you cannot end this. But you see, I knew that of everyone, the one person I needed to please was God.
Wow.
So I had to keep that why. Why am I ending this? Is it because he's not a great guy? No. Is it because he doesn't have a bright future? No. Is it because he was mean to me? No. He was romantic. He was amazing. So what made me end it was God told me this was not the best for you. I had to keep my why in front of me. And then the next thing I needed to do was set boundaries. Yeah. You know very well that this person, you still have feelings for the person. That's not a good time to go and visit him. That's not a good time to stay on the phone with him. You have to be a bit radical about some of the things you're going to do. Sometimes you may even need to end some connecting relationships. So even some of the friends you guys have, you may need to tell them that you need a break from them, because the truth is they're going to try to get you guys back together because they love both of you. So I had to be very firm on some of those boundaries. Then the next thing I did was I had to fill my life with other things. You have to find ways to distract yourself from your emotions. So I prayed more, I studied more. I had to study for my master's anyway, so I put my head in my books, you know, and then I had other fun relationships, then hanging out with some other people. You just have to distract yourself somehow.
How long did it take you for you to be ready now before you meet Pastor Kingsley?
So, interestingly, along the journey, I met Pastor K. So, about, I don't know, maybe another 6 months, something, I met Pastor K. I didn't think he was anything I wanted. I had my spec. To be honest, I'm not even sure they were standards. They were just the kind of guy that I liked. Mm-hmm. I had my own spec.
Your own type.
Yes. I didn't want my pastor because I thought they were boring. I didn't want to marry from the Igbo tribe, the tribe I'm from. I didn't want to marry from them because they can be brash and arrogant and loud, and I didn't want that. And they have this habit of always going home to the village every year, and I'm a city girl. I'm sorry. I don't do village. So I had all those things, like I didn't want. He was hairy. I think he was my hairy man, because I'm hairy. I didn't want a man who was fair in complexion. He's a lot darker now, but when we met, he was very fair, yes. And I didn't like that. Interestingly, so I wanted tall, dark, handsome.
Oh, the cliche.
And he just, yes, the cliche. But it just didn't pan out that way, apparently, because one day God sat me down to have a conversation with me. What is the most important thing that you would like? And that's that I wanted a friend. I wanted to marry my friend. I wanted someone I could hang out with, I could laugh with. We could grow old together and we are still laughing. We get each other's jokes without even saying anything. People are in the room and we can forget people are in the room, you know. And that's what I really wanted. I wanted my guy, you know. And that's what he was. And
so how God said, God confirm this was the one?
So the same way God said the other guy was the same way God confirmed this. So one day I couldn't go to my church, so I went to his church, and he was preaching. So I think after the service he saw me, because he walked, you know, when pastor is preaching, you can see, you literally see everyone in the audience. And then he walks up to me after the service and says, oh, you came today, so you know what, I'll drop you, but let me finish, I have a few pastor's meetings, you just wait. So I was like, okay, that's fine, I'll wait. So I waited, and while I was waiting, I knew, I had this unusual feeling like God wanted to talk to me about something. So I was reading the book of Samuel, where 1 Samuel 16, I believe, where Samuel went to Jesse's house to anoint the next king. And he got there, and they kept bringing out the sons. And they brought out the first, and Samuel said, surely, this must be the chosen of the Lord. And the Lord said, no, I don't look on the outside, I look on the heart. And after that, he now asked, are there no more sons? And then he goes on to describe one child that he had. He said he's the youngest and he's taking care of the sheep. And then when he comes, then the Lord says to Samuel, arise, anoint him, for he's the one. And that same thing happened again. Stood up for me. And the Holy Spirit said to me, what position is Kingston, his family? I said, he's the youngest. He said, what do pastors do? I said, they take care of the sheep. He said, arise, anoint him, for he's the one. So that was the way God confirmed, as he does with every other thing in my life. He uses the word to confirm everything, plain as day.
I love the way God speaks to you. It seems so clear. Yes. But there's somebody out there thinking, can I get to hear God's voice concerning who to date, who to marry? Maybe some tips or guidance on how to hear God's voice in that matter. Or how to pray for a husband.
So I think that most times people expect God to always be dramatic, right? Sometimes he's dramatic with some of us. Maybe we're too stubborn, I don't know. But he's generally dramatic with some people, but he's not with other people. Sometimes he's in the still small voice, right? But one thing I do know is that God says to us all the time, he says, I will guide you with my eyes. And so if you know that God will guide you, that's the first step, having faith that I can be led. Another thing that God says is that my sheep hear my voice. Are you his sheep? If you're his sheep, you will hear his voice. It says the voice of a stranger they will not hear. So those were the things that have guided me over the years, knowing that God will speak to me. He wants to guide me. It's his desire.
Yeah.
So all I have to do is ask and follow. Sometimes God doesn't always speak as dramatically as that, using the word. For some other people, it's just a peace that this is the right thing to do. For some other people, it's just a knowing. You just know that I'm doing the right thing. Some people is dreams, some people is visions. You know, God can speak to you in many ways. So I wouldn't say ask God, don't try to put God in a box, you know, but I like the word and the way he speaks to me because the word is so sure. You know, it's sure. It's not something I can question.
Yeah.
It's there, clear as day. And I don't try to manipulate it. I don't try to just close my Bible and say, okay, Lord, what do you want to say to me today? And flip open. No, I don't do that. It's sometimes the scriptures that I have read in the past that he brings up in my spirit. Or sometimes I'm just studying the word and the scriptures just, like light just comes out of it. And literally just comes alive to me. So if you're trusting God for a partner, first thing I would say is get information, right? Study the word. Interestingly, through the scriptures, you find characters, you know, and personalities in the Bible that have certain qualities that God really values. For one, God valued David's heart.
Yeah.
And so those were some of the major things I started praying about. That let this man's heart be heart after yours. A man that would not question anything you want from
him.
You know, and then one of the things God said to me, interestingly, which is part of what I would, you know, consistently share with women, is the fact that your marriage is a ministry. So you have to make sure you're doing it with the right person.
Yeah.
So there's certain things, get information, read books. Pasuke and I have loads of books that you can learn from. Go to YouTube. We have lots of messages on how to choose the right person. But in everything, if you're a Christian, my biggest thing would be make sure that the person you're choosing is a Christian who loves and fears the Lord. And then, of course, check out the person's character. You know, make sure that you guys are friends. And then start praying about the rest. Then God will give you peace or he'll speak to you somehow to let you know that this is the right path. But he wants to guide you and he will.
Wow. Maybe let's just switch gear a little bit since we don't have too much time on the matter of your journey to parenthood. Tell us, the doctor said you had a condition. Tell us a bit about that and how God came in and changed that report.
So that's a part of my life that I think is that's literally like my life mission now, to tell everyone who is willing to listen that my God gives babies.
We are willing to listen.
Yes, my God gives babies.
Wow.
So at 16, so I started my period about 10. I was quite about young, that young when I started, but it wasn't normal. But I didn't know that, you know. Most people do 3 to 5 days. But mine was 7 to 10 days from the beginning. But I didn't know. It was heavy, but I didn't know there was anything unusual. But when I turned 16, it stopped. Then one day started and would not stop. So I was literally the woman with the issue of blood, just started bleeding 3 months straight. Almost died, went to the hospital. My mom rushed me off to the hospital the minute she found out. And the doctors ran some tests and found out that I had polycystic ovarian syndrome. And from that point on, you know, it just went from one story to the other. You know, you may never be able to have a child. I heard this from many doctors, ran different tests. I was literally like a guinea pig and I was tired of being tested. At some point, they had to put me on medications to kind of create a cycle so that at some point I'm not bleeding. And, you know, so it just messed up everything. When I met my husband, he said to me, I told him when he proposed to me, I told him, doctor said I may never be able to have a child. And he said, who are doctors?
I said, I like that.
I said, people that wear white and carry stethoscopes. He said, yeah, so who are they? God said, none shall be barren, and I believe it. He said, you know what? If that's the reason you don't want to marry me, let's get married and let's name our children. So we named our children even before we got married. My husband has always been a man of faith. He wasn't scared by anything I said. We got married, and then, of course, I started my journey. Doctor to doctor was one thing or the other. I mean, it was very dramatic. I have a lot of stories that time will not permit me to tell. However, at some point, you know, God told me that my salvation would come from total dependence on him and that I should stop my silly efforts to save myself. And so I stayed in the Word. And what I did was back then, of course, there was no Google. So I sat down and I brought out my husband's study Bibles, his concordance, everything I could find. And I brought out journals and I started to write out every scripture I could find on childbirth, on miscarriage, on twins, trip, whatever I saw in the Bible that had to do with having a child.
Mm.
I wrote it all out, turned them to confessions, and I would speak the word over myself. The same way you take drugs, morning, afternoon, night, one tablet 3 times a day.
Wow.
I was speaking the word, confessing the word, declaring that there are 2 nations in my womb, 2 people be separated from my body. I knew that my children would surround my table because they reward for my husband because he fears the Lord.
Mm.
I knew I was a fruitful vine in the heart of my husband's house. I had scriptures. I would just confess them. It was my right as a tither. All of a sudden, light came, and I knew, like I knew my name, that it was only a matter of time that I would hold my babies in my hand. But I was pregnant. I knew it. Now, it took me 5 years to actually now get pregnant.
Mm.
5 years of doing this consistently.
Wow.
But when I now got pregnant with my first, I got pregnant and had my daughter, Davida. I had her August 22nd, 2013.
Mm.
Then for my son, I had him August 22nd, 2015. Mm. They're born on the same day, 2 years apart. And that's God just showing off and telling me that this is no mistake.
Yeah.
If it worked the first time, it worked the second time. And God was just faithful and consistent.
Mm.
And then, of course, from there, I've made it my life mission to help other women to get this victory.
Yeah.
Not by running around to prayer houses, not by running around to prophets, but standing true on God's word and insisting on what God has already given you. Because once Jesus died on that cross, your babies were released.
Mm.
So you already have them. So you just have to stand and insist, because Satan will come.
Mm.
He will come to question, did God really say?
Mm.
And that's all he does. That's all he's always done. He did it with with Eve in the beginning. He asked that, did God really say you should not eat? And she couldn't come up with a serious answer. But when he went to Jesus and he said, if you are the Son of God, in other words, did God really say you are the Son of God? Jesus told him, it is written.
Mm.
So I knew the answer was to always reply him with the word. So it's a journey that I did, I had to go through, and somehow God came through for me. I have 3 beautiful children, contrary to every doctor's report. Yes, I want.
Encourage a woman out there who's had a miscarriage of time. Of course, your story itself is encouragement.
Yeah.
But just speak to them heart to heart, having gone through that journey.
So I know how hard it can be. Mm-hmm. I know that it's very difficult for someone to try to have a baby and not have one.
Mm.
Especially because that's the one thing you believe you were created to do.
Mm.
And then for you to be the one thing you cannot do, it's very hard.
Yeah.
So one of the things I would like them to know is that it's already done. You're not begging God for a child like he's a wicked taskmaster.
Mm.
Your father knows you have need of these babies. Interestingly,
yeah,
the Bible tells us that the only thing God gets out of marriage is godly seed.
Wow. It's,
and if God wants godly seed, he can't have them by himself. God can't get pregnant. So the only way he can have that is if he gives them to us to raise them as godly seed.
So God is willing.
Yes, God is able and willing.
Yeah.
So once you figure that out, then go to the word. Because the word of God works 100% of the time.
Mm.
You can work it. The Bible says there's the working of miracles.
Yeah.
This is the working of miracles, where you take the word and you speak it, confess it, meditate on it, believe it, until the word becomes flesh.
Mm.
So I don't want you to give up. I know Satan has come many times and he has tried to confuse you, but the word is true.
Yeah.
It says, if you serve the Lord your God, he will bless your bread and water.
Mm.
He will take sickness. So whatever it is that's causing a fibroid, PCOS, endometriosis, whatever the sickness is, blocked fallopian tubes, polyp, whatever name it is called, he said he will remove sickness.
Yeah.
You will not have a miscarriage.
Amen.
You cannot be barren, and the Lord will fulfill the number of your days. That's God's promise. Exodus 23, 25, 26.
Yeah.
Take that word, believe it, and go to war with it.
Mm.
Every time you see blood, say, no, I serve the Lord my God.
Mm.
So I am blessed. I will carry my children in my hands. And blood is not a child. Until I see blood come out of me, I will not give up. I will not stop saying this.
Mm.
I will not stop believing it. I will not stop screaming it. Sometimes we need to get really loud with Satan. He's hard of hearing.
Yeah.
He is. So sometimes he comes and says, I don't think you're pregnant. Say to him, I am pregnant, because the word of God says, shout it out. Don't be embarrassed. Shout. He's not embarrassed to put thoughts in your head. So why should you be embarrassed to scream the word at him?
Yeah.
So shout it is written.
I love
and
that.
And so you just keep pushing, and you will, I guarantee you. The way I know this is because God can be trusted to keep his word.
Mm-hmm.
So hold fast to your profession of faith. Don't give up. Keep confessing, keep believing, and it's only a matter of time.
Awesome. As we come to a conclusion, you support your husband even as you preach alongside him in many places in the world, which is so admirable. So I just want you to help married women. How do you help your husband? Like, just a few things where you can help women to be able to be a pillar and a support system, and not just a support system, because you preach along. You don't just look pretty.
I would like to look pretty, though.
You are. You look pretty everywhere. But you also, God has deposited something in you that is also now complementing, supplementing what your husband is doing. Mm-hmm. Tell us about how to support the men that God gives us.
So I believe that marriage itself is a ministry. Uh-huh. So every woman, every married woman is a minister of the gospel. Every married woman.
Wow.
Why do I believe that? Because you're saying I do at the altar is you saying, Father, I am willing to help this man to achieve his destiny, fulfill his purpose for the rest of his life according to your will. So one of the things you must do first of all is pray for your husband. I pray for my husband. I prayed for him for years. I had to stop complaining about him to God. You know, a lot of women do that. We pray about our husband instead of praying for him. I had to stop complaining. I had to stop trying to train my husband. My assignment is to love him, not to train him. My assignment is to train my children, you know, and love my husband. So I realized that some things I would complain about, you spend too much money. God was saying, that's why I sent you. You're a helper. So instead of nagging about those things, one of the things you could do is find out where his weaknesses are and use your strengths to bolster them. So I had to sit and ask myself, now that I'm here as his wife, what is he called to do? What are his dreams? What are his goals? Ask your husband. Apart from praying for him, pray for him. Let God reveal to you. But ask him, what would you like to do? When I got married to my husband, I asked him, what would you like to achieve? I'm here to help. And he said to me, oh, I'd like to be on TV. I'd like to write books, but I've just never had the chance. I sat down and started writing his books. I know I shouldn't say this, but I write my husband's books.
What?
Yes.
Amazing.
So I just take his messages. I sit down and I turn them into books.
Wow.
TV, I worked in TV. I worked in TV when I was much, much younger.
Wow. So you a presenter?
Yes, I was a presenter.
Oh.
Yes, I was.
So this is deja vu in a way?
I guess. But I was, let me say this, I was a newscaster.
Oh, okay.
So it's kind of different.
Okay.
Right? But I was on TV. Mm. So I had a lot of friends in TV. So I just made a few contacts, some of my old contacts and all of that. And it just opened up the door for us to go on TV. Mm. And that was the first time he became popular before we now moved on to social media and all of that. So anything I feel like God is saying to him, even getting my husband on social media was a miracle. I kept convincing him. He was like, no. So I opened his Instagram page. I opened it. The thing is, what does your husband want to achieve? Then sit down. I believe that God deposits in all of us gifts. I think every woman is powerful. Every woman is amazing. Every woman has something inside of her. And interestingly, I'm working on a book called Wow Man. And that kind of breaks down the different aspects of women that if they would develop, they would become wow versions of themselves. So I really think that women should look inside. What do I have to offer? If you're joining with another person, then there are things you can bring into his life. And that's what I did, simply. I just asked God, then I asked him. I asked God, what do you want this man to be? And God showed me pictures. This is where I want to take him. He will always be relevant. He will do this, he will do that. And God showed me things. I wrote them down. Wrote them down with dates. And then I asked him, what do you want to do? And he told me, and I just merged the two, and I asked myself, where do I come in? And then I just started to do that. It's as simple as that. All you have to do, first of all, is understand that you are powerful, you're gifted, and you have what it takes to help the man that God sends to you, because you are the one God chose to help you.
No, I'm speechless. Listening to all that you do behind the scenes, it sounds like you're almost like the engine.
Oh,
you
know, my.
We don't see engine. You're just okay with your man being out there, shining, preaching the gospel.
Yeah. I'm happy for him.
It's like that Proverbs 31 woman, I believe.
And that's our goal, right, isn't it? To be like Jesus. And the reflection of him on earth is kind of like her. To be everything God has called us to be, but most importantly, to fear the Lord.
How do you balance? You are traveling all over the world. You have 3 babies and a husband in a ministry. Just a bit on balance.
So I don't know if we ever fully balance. One of the things God taught me is how to juggle balls, right? The thing is, we must realize that there are some glass balls and there are some plastic balls. the glass balls are the things that only you can do, and if you drop them, they're delicate.
Wow.
So for instance, yeah, your marriage is a glass ball. Your children are a glass ball. I can quit traveling over the world, all over the world, if I sense that I need to stay back for my children.
Mm.
So it's important that you understand priority. So I have, first thing is pray, second thing, prioritize. The third thing is people. God sends people to help you. I don't think I can do what I do without people. I have so many people who make me look good. I have people who help work with me on books. I have people who help plan our trips with me. I have aunties who sit with my children when I can't be there. I have my elder sister does all their lessons with them when I'm away, make sure they do their homework. I have people who make sure that they follow their meal plans. I have people who go shopping for them, for foodstuff or whatever. Anytime I'm away, I kind of really just plan. Then I have pastors who are resident pastors who stay on top of the job when I'm not around to pastor my own people. Mm. I have people on teams on my own ministry, Just Us Girls. So people, and how you treat those people is so important.
Mm.
If you understand the value of these people, you will treat them well. Because a lot of people have people who work for them and they treat them anyhow. I literally treat my people like my family. My immediate team are like my kids.
Mm.
Gideon, Dochi, Chisom, I favor all of them. I treat them like they're my own babies.
Mm.
Because they're very valuable. What they do may not be seen to the physical eye, but I know if they were to stand up for where they are, what they're holding will fall.
Mm.
So God is teaching me that there are certain balls that must not drop, and those are the ones that I must put as priority.
Mm.
But I really pray for grace, because God gives grace.
Great. Give us your parting shot to the women, to the married, whatever is it in your heart that you'd like to encourage someone, maybe.
So I think my parting words would be that, first of all, if you would love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your prayer, with all your passion, with all your intelligence, that if you follow him with everything you have, then every other thing you're looking for will be added to you. So God is my priority. I love him, and my life mission is to make people fall in love with him the way I love him.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that should be every woman's goal. Somehow it just affects your family, your children, your business, your calling, everything, if you love God. So that's the secret. The biggest secret is to love him with everything that you have.
Golden. Thank you so much.
Thank you for having me.
Making time for us. I know you are on a busy schedule.
My absolute pleasure.
I really
appreciate it. And so nice to meet you.
So nice to meet you too. I'm sure Kenyan women are blessed to hear from you.
I'm so glad.
Especially on the part that God can do, can turn around those doctors' reports that speak negatively.
Yes.
God can turn them around.
Yes.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for having me.
Go back to Nigeria, take back our love as Kenyans.
I will. Thank you so much.
And that's where we conclude Candid Conversations tonight. Thank you so much for watching. Have a good night.